Hello, I'm Daniel Weiss, your host, and you are listening to Average to Exceptional podcast. My aim with this podcast is to inspire you, to empower you, so you take the steps necessary to improve your performance, personal and business life, take charge of your health and emotional state, and live fulfilled life. Please welcome Nicole Merrickle in today's episode of my podcast. As you will find out, Nicole is not only an exceptional racer with a great mindset, but she's also an exceptional human being with a big heart. Together we cover topics about racing, racing mindset, overcoming struggle during the race and in life, and we also get into Nicole's vision for future and talk about balance in life and in nutrition. So please sit back, listen and receive.
I was checking your resume and everything, and I will start with that actually, because you know, when I was checking also the Spartan races, commentators and all these commentaries regarding it, everybody was telling like you came out of nowhere.
And yeah, you know, I've only been racing for about a little over a year now, year and a half in obstacle course races at least.
Yeah, and you already had so much success.
Yeah, it's been a good first like year and a half for sure.
Yeah, but the point that I want to bring across was that everybody was telling like you came out of nowhere, but then I checked your resume and you had quite a lot of success in cross country and running, right? So it's not like to be diminished.
Yes. Oh yeah.
And as far as I know,
it's not like I'm new to racing, really.
Yeah, exactly. So I would like to tap more into that and ask you a few questions and hopefully get some insights from you. And I mean, probably you are used to interviews asking you about your training, nutrition, these kind of things. And while this is very interesting to me, I'm very interested in like mental aspect of these things.
Okay.
So sounds, I mean, good. Yeah, for example, what really like resonated with me and what really interested me was when I was reading one of your messages that was a while ago. It was post race, I think 2 weeks ago it was. And this is when I actually reached out to you. And in that post, you sounded like very, very confident and with a high self-esteem. You know, maybe you remember that post, you were saying like you are coming for the win or something like along these lines.
Uh-huh.
And that you are proud of the work that you have done and all these things. So this really resonated with me and it was a really strong message. So I would like to ask you, like, where did this come from?
So that kind of came out of, I would say a little bit out of excitement of how the season's been going.
Okay.
And some frustration.
Frustration.
A little bit, yeah, just because I had some success last year, and mm-hmm. then I had some early success in the beginning of the season with winning the Spartan race in Monterey, and then I had a couple races that didn't go as well, and
right.
I kind of felt like some people were kind of counting me out of the rest of the season kind of because of those two races. And I just, yeah, I felt like, you know what, I'm still in it and I just need to work a little bit more on my heavy carries, but I don't feel like I've taken like a big step back in those races. And so yeah, I just kind of wanted to say, like, you know, I still have a lot of confidence in myself going into the championship race, And I think I showed that in West Virginia at the Spartan race there, the last one in the series, that, you know, I'm still definitely one of the top women in the sport. Right.
Actually, I was watching that like live, and you definitely
the West Virginia one,
right? Also, the one before, I don't remember, what was it, Monterey maybe?
Maybe Asheville.
Asheville, yes.
Mhm.
And you definitely seemed to be very calm at the beginning, at the start line.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's a good quality to have.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I think you know, after racing for so many years, I started racing when I was, I don't know, like 10, in cross country and track races, and so the starting line is a very familiar place for me to be, and I'm definitely really used to having a lot of like nervous energy, but being able to start and having all of that like kind of under control and really utilize it to race well.
So how do you actually do that? How do you calm yourself when you say you have a lot of nervous energy and you can use that?
Well, I guess I say that because when I first started racing, especially after I had, from like my very first race ever was when I was in fourth grade, and it was a race between all of the elementary schools in my town, and I won. And that was surprising to me at the time, because I knew just from running around and playing soccer that I was pretty quick, but this was like a mile race, I think. And at the time that seemed like a really far distance. So I won that race and I was like, oh, like, I guess I'm a pretty good runner. And then I did some like running camps in summers. And then in middle school, when I started racing like a consistent cross country season, I won every race that fall. And all of a sudden I felt a lot of pressure to always win. And that's something that, you know, there's probably very few people out there who are going to win every single race from the time that they start racing. So it was something that I had to process my nervous energy and that expectation that I had of myself and I thought from other people to win. And so I talk about having nervous energy at a start line and how that's actually a good thing and how to kind of calm down, because that was something that was so obviously new to me when I first started racing and I didn't know how to handle it. And I was like brought to tears sometimes at before races because I was so nervous. So it's something that I've had to kind of like to deal with. And I think like in high school, especially, it was when I really came to terms with the fact that being nervous is a good thing and it really like prepares you to race well. But there's a certain amount that you need to kind of calm yourself before. And it's really good to do like some visualization before a race and kind of walk through the race mentally. And you want to have a certain amount of, what's the word? Sorry, that's my dog. One second.
Say hello to him.
Hey, buddy, calm down. Sorry.
That's okay. He wanted to be on podcast.
Yeah.
Well.
So I think it's there's this this balance between being hyped up and ready to race, and especially if it's like a really short, fast race, then you really have to be like really primed to go fast from the start. So there's like the balance between being ready and being excited to race, but then also being, you know, not letting like that consume you.
Yeah, exactly. It's actually something that I observed, and also what I learned is that when it comes to performance, you want to be like kind of, let's call it, calm warrior, right? When you are mm-hmm. in a state of, you are coming from the state of power, but like you said, you have to be calm, you cannot let it consume you, right? So mm-hmm. it's very calm energy. But it is interesting what you just mentioned, that there is like a difference between like shorter course, because where you want to be prime, probably there is like more intense energy. Yeah, you don't have that time to warm up, let's say, and start slower because it's too short.
Definitely.
Compared to a longer distances where you can just start slower and build up over the race, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is kind of interesting thing. And actually, I was doing an interview with another guy, and he was speaking, or his opinion on that was that the mental aspect is mainly important from his perspective for these shorter courses, like when you cannot make any mistake, or because it will cost you place, right?
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think of like being in the zone is kind of how I think about it, and I was gonna say, I forgot now. I'll think about it in a second.
Okay, so basically, yes, this is the kind of thing. And actually, when you say that you were running from like 10 years old, it's, well, you should have developed a very good aerobic engine. But also, what comes to my mind is that when I watched you, you have very good stride, or you really look very relaxed when you run during the course, and it was really enjoyable, really pleasure to see you running, and that's very close to me. Like your style of running is how I run personally. So.
Oh yeah.
yeah. It's like because you see some athletes, you know, and there are like different running styles, and some people really look tense, and you look really relaxed when you run.
Yeah, I think that's also something I've definitely gained from racing in college and having a coach that really stressed relaxing. And just like in practice, we would run at race pace, but he would tell us, you know, he would really focus a lot on talking to us about relaxing our upper bodies and kind of just feeling like we were out for a training run. And so I think like I practice that in practice and in racing, that like being going fast but feeling relaxed at a fast pace.
Yes, and actually, do you still need to focus on that relaxation, or is it just automatic for you right now?
I definitely still have certain cues that I like, well, like phrases that I repeat to myself at the start of a race, especially. And it is something that I do think about periodically in a race, just like relaxing my shoulders, like making sure my hands aren't tense, and just kind of trying to like relax, especially my upper body, and cue on different things like that.
Yeah, maybe something like shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very important, I guess. So that's important. Yes, you also mentioned that you use like visualization before the race. So can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, you know, I'm somebody who before a race, I'm not like a really chatty person. I kind of have to be off in my own space, and I definitely need like a quiet atmosphere, and I do spend time just kind of going over like what my strategy is for the race and trying to think about different things to cue on. So I'll look at the course and I'll see like where the halfway point is, and maybe where like 800 meters out from the finish is. And I'll like say, okay, well, you know, the sandbag carry is at that point. And so I'll want to, you know, like once I get there, I know that it's pretty much all out from there. And so I'll try to like think about different points in the race and what I want to like remind myself at those points.
Mm-hmm. So basically, yes, you go over the race to remind them, basically prepare yourself for these things, what to expect. But do you also focus on the kind thing on the things like your feelings that you will go through the race? Like exhaustion, you know, in college, for example, and tiredness.
So it's interesting. I think that kind of through my experience seeing a sports psychologist in college, and then also just from racing and feeling good going into races, feeling not so good going into races, I've kind of developed this mentality that I'm an optimistic person, but it's almost a pessimistic view going into races that I expect to suffer and I expect things to go wrong. That way, if I'm in a race and I don't like my legs feel kind of heavy from the start, it's not a surprise to me, and it's not something that's going to necessarily ruin the race. So I kind of expect the worst, and then I hope to be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, and that's actually very close to me, and I've started experimenting with it. I've had this kind of mindset as well. Like you say that I'm also a very optimistic person, very happy person, but like, for example, during the race, I'm really looking for these pain points or really expecting the worst to happen, and usually it does not.
Yeah.
So
definitely.
So it's really good. And for example, just thinking about my past race, which was this Saturday, like you could see people and in their faces how they are suffering going uphill, really steep uphill. And well, I don't want to brag, but I must have been like the happiest person on the course. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I think most people need to develop this because they tense up and you know, their mental state goes down, and especially when you have a course that brings you back to the stadium like 2-3 times and then right back up the hill. So I really love these points when the course is designed in that way that it plays also with your mind.
Oh yeah, anything that comes back and you see the finish, but then you have several more miles to go, it kind of plays a trick on you.
Yes, especially when you need to go again back uphill and when you are tired, and then you find out that you are just halfway through, for example. So anyway, is there anything that you would like to give an advice to starting athletes or maybe amateur athletes, how to handle the stress and the pressure? Because there are also some people who really, you know, stress out themselves and cannot handle the pressure that they put on themselves.
Yeah, you know, I think that what I found is that it's something that, so with training and with racing, it's good to enjoy the whole entire process. And so when I think about going into a race, regardless of if I've had a really great training cycle or if, you know, I've been struggling with injuries, I try to line up and not think about any of that and just think like today is an opportunity to see what I have in my body today. And it's like, it's something that I go into and I think I want to have fun. I want to enjoy it. You know, if I miss something, I'll try to laugh it off. Even like missing my spear throw happens frequently. And I think every time that I miss it, I'm bummed, but I pretty much always like kind of like chuckle to myself a little bit, because I have the perspective of having been a collegiate runner in track and cross country. And now I'm doing obstacle course racing, which is just like so different from running fast for, you know, 5K, 10K. So it's just funny to me when I'm like, oh, I was in this race and then I missed my spear. It's like, it's funny that there's a spear throw in the race. Oh, sorry. So yeah. So I just try to go into it and think that I'm going in to have fun. This is Benji, stop. Okay. Sorry about that. The dog again. Yeah. So my advice to someone who's either new to racing or struggling with like the pressure and maybe not enjoying racing as much is to remind yourself that you're doing this because it is fun and, try to relax before the race and then enjoy it as much as possible. Smile when you can and, you know, shake off things like failing obstacles or having to try them again. So.
Yeah, I agree. I would just add that it can be something like reframing your how you think about these things, because when you fail an obstacle, you can think about it as a way how to, well, I failed it and how bad I am, or along these lines. Or on the other hand, you can think about it like, okay, this is something that is a valuable feedback, so I need to train maybe more for this obstacle if I want to improve. And yeah, I'm happy and grateful for failing it, because now I know that what I can do, what is the next step. And for example, well, my strong point is running, and when I fail the obstacle, I'm just, you know, smiling around and exactly just thinking to myself about the other athletes that, well, you didn't fail the obstacle, but I will catch you on the running part. So.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
That's kind of fun game that I play with in my mind.
But it's what?
It's kind of like mind game that I play during the race, you know, with the athletes around. So when I feel the obstacle, that I just reframe it in a way that, okay, let's go, let's chase them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely, that's kind of what happened at West Virginia. I had a different race than normal where I was actually chasing people for most of the race, and it was kind of new and different. And I kind of took it as I was like hunting them down.
Yeah. So it brings a new level of game or intensity into the race, right? It's much more fun suddenly. Mm-hmm. And what about the difference between like chasing people versus leading the pack?
You know, in my history of racing before obstacle course running, I was never really a front runner. I would just kind of sit and let somebody else pace out the race. And I definitely relied a lot on having a really good finishing kick, where you really don't have the opportunity to have a finishing kick in obstacle course racing. And, it just, obviously my strength, especially coming into OCR, was the running. So I found out very quickly, I have to take it out and run hard from the start. And I'm going to probably be the one setting the pace. So it's been kind of a different race strategy for me than I've done my whole life, which has been new and different. But being the front runner is definitely a lot more stressful than chasing somebody, at least like it is for me. So that's something that I've gotten more comfortable with it, but it's still pretty nerve-wracking to be in the front and not know how far, and sometimes not know how far ahead of your competitors you are. And especially with obstacle course racing, you know, you could fail something and then you're just hoping that you're like a minute or 2 minutes ahead of the next person.
Yeah, I can definitely imagine that, but I'm yet to experience it. But you also have a background in rock climbing.
Yep.
So this gives you really good like advantage in the, when it comes to grip strength and yeah, grip obstacles. So I mean, this is also something that you can leverage on. And I'm guessing like how does your training look like now besides running and maybe rock climbing? Are you also implementing this heavy carries right now or strength training?
Yes, I have. Yeah, I've recently been incorporating more heavy carry kind of training into my overall programming. I climb a lot, and that's the main part of my training that that relates more to obstacles. I don't go to like an obstacle course gym or a ninja gym or anything like that. I just rock climb, and it seems to turn out pretty well for the obstacles. But the heavy carries are a struggle for me, and so that's something that I've had to definitely work on the past couple months. And it started with just getting a couple sandbags and picking them up and putting them down and getting comfortable with moving them around like that. And then from there, like I'll do some bucket carries, and I typically do them outside of my running training, so I do it completely separately. And it's been working pretty well for me so far. We'll see. I've heard that in Tahoe the heavy carries are going to be pretty brutal. There'll probably be a double sandbag carry. So I've been practicing with double sandbags, and part of it is just kind of getting the strategy down and finding out what way is the best way to carry it for me. And I found that I can't put them both on my shoulders. My arms aren't long enough to reach overhead, and I don't really have even enough like shoulder space to put two big sandbags on them. So, so that's part of it, is just kind of getting acquainted with the sandbags and finding out what works best for me.
And this also brings a different level of structure when it comes to this, because these are not so often seen obstacle, right? The double sandbag carry. And you probably also don't know what, this is what I like actually about the Spartan race, is that you don't know where exactly what will be, right? What kind of obstacle, like you don't have the course profile in the beginning, and you are there for sometimes for quite a surprise.
Yeah, there's been so many surprises this season. It's been unknowns of how long the carries will be, how many carries there will be, if it'll be a single or a double. And even if you know it's a double carry, you don't know what kind of sandbags it's going to be. And that can change it too. If it's two long bags or if it's two pancakes, you know, then I use a pretty different strategy to carry those. So, and that's kind of something that has really thrown me off in a couple races at least. And it totally changed how the race probably would have played out for me.
Mm-hmm. So can you talk more about that? Because this is like really interesting for me. Like, how did it throw you off?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. After Asheville in particular, I was pretty frustrated and kind of, I was mad. And I was even questioning if I really wanted to do obstacle course races that had such heavy carries in them. Because the Asheville carry for women was 80 pounds. It was 240s. And that was something that I just was completely unprepared for. I just didn't even know how to like pick them both up at the same time. And so I really had to kind of had like a little dilemma within myself and had to decide if I was going to continue trying to do well off of rock climbing and running, or if I was really going to devote the time and put in the effort with the heavy carries to really be like a more well-rounded athlete.
And that you are thinking during the race?
No, this was, well, during the race, honestly, during that obstacle, I was struggling so much that I didn't know if I was going to finish. So that was hard because I went from being in, me and Lindsay were right together in first place, And then I lost, I think about 6 minutes in just the double sandbag carry. So it was like, it was pretty
quite a surprise.
Surprising. Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. And so that's even another thing is that, you know, I got through that obstacle finally. And then I had to, you know, I really went through like a mental struggle in trying to race hard the rest of the race, being way farther back than I normally would be. And that was something that I was ultimately like pretty happy with how the rest of the race went and how much I pushed, you know, even being like completely out of the race at that point. But I was still mad about that double sandbag.
Yeah, but in that case, it was a spark for different kind of training or for...
Oh, definitely. And I think that it was something that once I realized, like, you know what, like this is just a new challenge, and it's not something that I'm not immediately drawn to lifting and to carrying heavy things, but that doesn't mean that I'm not going to enjoy it once I really like invest my time in it. And it's something that now I do appreciate it more. It is fun to progress so much in something that you thought you were really, really bad at.
Yeah, definitely. So it brings a new challenge.
I hope it doesn't like, you know, deter people.
Yeah, and this challenge allows you to progress. So it's great. Yeah, and on one side, like you mentioned, you can run away from it, or you can take the challenge and or the bull by the horns and take it. So I like your approach. Anyway, how does your mindset, because you have the kind of mindset that has developed over the years, you know, and when you are getting better and better, and especially in sports, you need to develop your grit and your persistence and other qualities in order to get better and to get to the top like you are right now. So how does this play into your personal life, like outside of the racing?
I don't understand that.
Yeah, okay, so how do you use your mindset, or do you use it also outside of the sports, like having that grit to push through and to...
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, I do think of myself as a pretty persistent person, and I would say I don't think I really use it as much outside of racing as I should, but it's something that I do try to think about. So like this last year I was in school, and I had some pretty hard classes, and there were definitely points that I was struggling, and I definitely, like, I kind of called upon that, like the success that I've had in racing, and tried to like draw some confidence from that, and think like, this, I'm just going to take this kind of like a race. Like, it's something that I need to work on, and I have to devote the time to. And I've had success with being persistent in racing and training, and there's no reason why that shouldn't apply to my studies as well. So I've definitely, I was in microbiology, and I had a couple bad exams, because sometimes it's hard to balance training and racing and school and life. And so I was really happy. I ended up getting an A in the class because I really put that time in and worked really hard the last two exams. So I try to apply it to the rest of my life, but sometimes it's harder.
Yeah, so the microbiology was your double sandbag carry.
Yeah, it totally was.
Yeah, so it's good because, you know, the reason I'm asking this question is because some athletes or people in general, let's say, you know, we have some kind of area that we are good at, or we really excellent, but we cannot translate this excellence into the other areas of the life. So this is what I'm also really focusing on helping people with, is like translate these things into other areas, because sometimes we just are blind to these things.
Yeah, I think it's something that it definitely can transcend more than just athletics. And, you know, I think especially I know that there's definitely people that look up to me, and especially when it comes to like children and kids, you know, I definitely want to inspire like a younger generation to live a healthy and active lifestyle. But I don't think athletics is like the end all be all. And I think there's definitely, if I can inspire people in other ways to make goals in other aspects of life and to go after them, you know, like with everything they have, then that's like, that's even more exciting to me.
That's nice. That's very nice. And actually it leads up to my question, like who is inspiring to you? Who is your inspiration?
Who is my inspiration?
Yes.
Oh man. You know, I honestly, I look to a lot of, I have several friends and who are like professional runners and just really awesome people. And they have like, they have careers as well. And so I really admire people that can, that have like a lot of success in different areas of their life, and they're able to balance that. You know, I think it's also great to have like one passion, but, yeah, I mean, I think of like my friend Shalea Kipp, who is an Olympic steeplechaser, and she's also getting her master's in, integrative physiology. And then people like Amelia Boone, who obviously she's like really, really successful obstacle course racer and a full-time lawyer. Like those kind of people are really impressive to me. And so, I mean, that's something that like I try to remind myself, is that on one hand, it would be awesome to be like a full-time professional obstacle course racer, but I still want to have a career in medicine, and I still have other passions, and you know, I want to do other things in life too.
Yeah, that's perfect. Actually, my point of view at balance is like we can look at it from different perspectives, and some people look at it like you need to have this balance at all the times, which means that let's say family, sports, passion, work, career, and all these things having balance at the same time. But we can also look at it from a different perspective, which is like at this stage of our life, maybe we push one area and in the next stage, we push another, and from the big perspective of the things or long perspective of the things, it will balance out. So,
yeah, I like that.
This is what I found, that many people don't really think about it from this long perspective kind of thing, and they are trying to balance their daily life. So really micromanage these things. So maybe this might be.
Yeah, I like that, and I think that's something that, like my parents are, they're really supportive, and, that's something that my dad and my mom, you know, they try to tell me, like, you know, right now, like your focus is school, like don't worry about other things so much, and then like now, like at this point in the season, I'm not taking classes right now, and more of my focus is on training. And again, like my parents are all about that, and they help me when they can, and they tell me like, you know, just focus on training more so now, and try not to worry as much about other things, and like things will work out.
Exactly. Yeah. It's important to have like long-term goals, but also like short-term goals. And this leads to the, let's say, overall balance from the longer perspective, from the longer perspective of time, and to reaching both long-term and short-term goals. So, and what is your vision? So, because you also said that you want to inspire people, and not only like from the perspective of athletics, but maybe from also a different perspective. So, what's your vision when you look at your life? What would you love to maybe inspire people in what ways, or how do you see yourself in a matter of few years? So from the long-term perspective.
In the long term? Yeah. Well, I see a couple different things. There's definitely, especially in America, there's like this epidemic of like obesity and heart disease and all of these things that could be prevented with healthier eating and more active lifestyle. And so I think that that's definitely like kind of an obvious one that, you know, if I could inspire people to take charge of their health in a preventative way and exercise more and eat healthier, then, you know, that's going to be better for them in the long term and better for like the US as a nation. but then also I grew up in a family that was really, involved with helping foster kids. And so that's something that I've also been really passionate about. And it's a group that I think is very vulnerable and definitely even more so in need of very like positive influences and people to inspire them and to believe in them. So I really hope that I can be a voice that advocates for foster kids and kind of one, like brings attention to the need that foster kids have. But then also, I hope that I can like be a mentor and inspire foster kids as well.
It's very nice. Coming from the heart.
Yeah.
So, well, good luck with that. Hopefully you will achieve all your dreams in the regard. And that's, well, I think if you stay on your path and focus on these things, then you will make a great person to inspire them, to mentor them, and to really give them a great start and inspiration to life.
Well, thanks. Yeah, that's what I hope to do.
Yeah, so just stay on your path, stay focused on that. And regarding the weight loss, like weight loss or basically like healthy habits, let's say healthy eating and moving, what do you suppose is the like biggest problem in that? I know that is like a hard question and we are kind of hypothesizing maybe here, but I would like to know your opinion on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think like the problem is so multifaceted. It's there's no simple answer. One thing I would definitely say, at least when it comes to especially like females, I know that there's starting to be this change in focusing on being strong rather than skinny. And so I think that if that like perpetuates itself, that, you know, a lot of people will value exercising more for reasons of being strong and being healthy instead of like looking a certain way. And I think like when you exercise for a purpose and you value your body more for what it can do rather than how it looks, then it's a lot easier to make healthier eating choices and then make healthier like exercise choices too.
And now that you mentioned, yes, go on.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, go on.
Now that you mentioned this, like exercise and this like switch from going pretty much what you were speaking about, like before there was this stage or era when women were supposed to be skinny, let's say, and they were dieting a lot and doing a lot of cardio, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's turning more to the point of getting strong and building, let's say, lean muscle.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I see it from the long-term perspective, again, it is like low, high, low, high. So eventually, I think it will turn back like this, like the trend that's trendy now. Then it will go maybe again to the opposite. So again, cardio and leaning. And well, maybe it will balance itself out, hopefully.
Yeah, I hope that people will continue to kind of shy away from that image of like the very skinny, like supermodel kind of look, and value like real athletes in their pursuit of being, you know, really fast or really strong or whatever the case may be. But it is, yeah, I mean, it's I think like it's an ever-changing, it's an ever-changing thing that, you know, people desire to look different ways. And, but I really do think that there's been like this positive change recently in like, especially with when it comes to like females, like thinking that strong is beautiful and women like hopefully valuing their, or having like a more positive, like self-image and having that more tied to like working out to be strong and to be able to run fast and do things like specifically athletically that, instead of just like valuing looks. So.
So that's a very good change then.
It's what?
That it is a very good change then, when it's steering.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so we have hope in the future. That's great. Okay. Anyway, thank you, Nicole. I'm very happy.
Well, thank you
once more for your inspiring interview. I really enjoyed it and. Especially the last part. I was not expecting that we would end up talking about like leaning and positive body image, but it's a very inspiring thing for many people, and as you mentioned, like for many women, I guess.
Yeah, I think, yeah, and definitely for men as well. You know, I think people are pretty aware of women having eating disorders, but men have eating disorders as well. Especially in sports like running and climbing, where like being light is kind of attributed to being fast or being able to climb hard.
Right, and so, well, now came to my mind another question: like, do you have any kind of special diet? Do you follow it, or how does your diet look like, or eating habits?
You know, I don't follow, well, I have some food allergies, and so there's certain things that I have to avoid because I'm allergic to them. But, I don't eat wheat. I don't eat dairy, but I would if I could, because milk is delicious and ice cream is so yummy. So I have like a pretty relaxed approach when it comes to my personal diet. Just because I think some people can get a little too controlling with their diet, and I kind of go off of how I feel. So I try to eat good, healthy, you know, whole grains and lots of veggies and fruit. But I have desserts pretty often. I have a pretty big sweet tooth. And I feel that it's healthy to indulge now and then. And I really do. I have dessert pretty much every day, which is maybe a little too much, but, you know, I'd rather honestly be a little bit, a little less lean, but be healthy instead of being too lean and then getting injured. So that's part of the reason why I don't really restrict my diet.
And I guess it also helps you with mental relaxation or being mentally relaxed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I enjoy eating. I enjoy, you know, having desserts and having wine. And I think it's you know, totally healthy and fine to indulge in those things.
Because I'm on the right opposite side of what you said, and actually what you mentioned, that being very controlling with the diet, and I'm trying to eat like very clean diet. But at the same time, this is something that I really enjoy, so it's not like, in my case, really like feeling under pressure or whatever. I really love salads. Like somebody likes desserts. Okay.
It's worth it.
Yeah. So it has a downside, you know, there's like too much fiber in it. So.
Yeah. I try specifically to eat enough, you know, like lean protein, and I have red meat in my diet. At least I try to eat something with red meat like once a week, I would say. Because, you know, I'm a female runner, and a lot of female runners have trouble with having low iron. So in addition to supplementing with iron, I definitely focus on eating red meat as well.
Yeah, perfect. So basically we can say that you have a balanced diet.
Yeah, balanced diet with enough desserts for sure.
Yeah, you see, we are again at this balance thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, thank you really a lot for your time, for all the inspiring topics, like from the mindset, the racing mindset, through the changing the world to a better place, and through the diet, and through inspiring kids.
Well, thank you. It was nice talking to you.
That was Nicole Miracle. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. And here is one thing that really stood out to me, and I would like to expand more on that. And when Nicole was speaking about having a nervous energy pre-race and how she's dealing with this state, and also during the race, how she overcomes her, you know, struggle, there is one thing that stood out. And that is what is the meaning that she gives to the situation. Because when we give meaning to a situation, we can create a different kind of experience for ourselves. And I just had a few weeks back actually a workshop on emotions, how we create them. So I would like to give you some insight. So the way how we create our emotions are in three ways. So there are like three things that need to happen, and this is how we create, how an emotion is created. So one of the things is the meaning, and that's what we were speaking during the podcast. The meaning is, for example, the pre-race nervousness, you can attach the meaning of that there is some negative experience, and yes, that is what it will end up. You will put that label, okay, nervousness equals something bad. You will feel bad. But in Nicole's case, it was like nervous means ready to race. So it can be, for example, excitement, readiness, excitement. And this creates a different set of emotions. So you need to be aware of your inner dialogue and what kind of meaning you attach to your experience, because by labeling your experience, this is one of the ways how we create the emotions. Then we also mentioned another part, which is your physiology. And by changing your physiology, you can change your energy, you can change your emotions and your experience. So what I mean by that is when we are talking, for example, about relaxing during the run, you know, like many people in their personal life, also in racing, when they are tensed, what they would do, they would shrug with the shoulders or have tightness around their neck, shoulders, and they will be holding, like protecting their neck. And that is the kind of thing, like, if you try to do it now for yourself, you might notice different state that you are putting yourself in. You might not feel as comfortable, you might feel defensive, protective. And that is the point, that by relaxing your shoulders for you racers when you run, it will allow you also not only to race better, but this is something that you can pay attention to also in your life, like when you do that. So it improves, it's an easy way how to change your experience and improve your emotional state. And then the third part is your focus. What do you focus on, you feel. So, I mean, this I went into like also in different interviews, and for example, there will be times when you feel physical pain and you don't necessarily want to ignore it, you don't want to avoid it, because I mean this pain will always be there and it will make itself known. But if you focus on the pain, or how painful it is, how bad the emotion it is, or whatever kind of meaning you attach to that, this is how you will feel, how you create this experience and emotions. So we have it, the meaning, the focus, what do you focus on, and then the physiology. Change any of these three and you will change the experience, how you perceive your emotions and the quality of your life. Now, if you liked this podcast, if you resonated with it, with the information that I share, that my guests share, please share it with people who could benefit. You will help me grow the community and allow me to share the inspiration, and maybe even transfer somebody's lives, maybe even someone's from your close circle you wouldn't even consider. And to stay in touch, you can join my Inner Circle community on Facebook, where I post quite often, or you can subscribe to my weekly newsletter, where I share things that I learned throughout the week, and these are from the areas of mind, body, and spirit. So usually I share things, something that I came across regarding nutrition, because that's what I'm really passionate about, because I transformed my life in terms of nutrition and fitness, and I'm really passionate about this stuff. On the other hand, from the also mind perspective, there I share sometimes, you know, like also articles, but things that didn't make it to the blog because they were too short. But there can be tips like how to get up on your schedule, or you know, how to be more productive, or also from dating and relationship areas, which I'm very passionate about. So you can make sure that, you know, that one email that I send a week, that it will be packed with information that are actionable and that you can use in your everyday life. So to stay in touch, just follow the links for the newsletter and for the Facebook group that I share in show notes. And alternatively, I will also let you know my website address if you are listening to this and you don't have access to show notes, and that is danweiss.eu. So once more, danweiss.eu. So see you there, looking forward to have some comments from you, to have a feedback, and see you next time.